Last till 7 o'clock. I'm going to need another cup of coffee. Thank you. I saw something like that. I don't know if you put that anywhere.
Actually been heading in the right direction the last couple of times we've been here. Okay, so let's get back. I think where we're at the point where the legal issue is 33.708. If I'm satisfied that the compromise will be for the best interest of the interested persons. And if once I do that, the PR is relieved from responsibility, which I guess is a good reason why you want me to do that.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the legal mechanism to do that?
Your Honor, if I could testify there.
Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, plain the truth.
Your Honor, I've been serving as the successor of personal representative of the state for the past few months. One of the main items that I've been involved with. I call it the Stansbury Plains litigation. I first heard an earlier argument about that. But as Mr. Rose indicated, he's correct that after I examined the merits of the case, I did advocate for a mediation. And the parties elected in that forum to go ahead to privately negotiate. And I was kept advised of that. And they reached a number that I believe and will testify to is in the best interest of the estate to have this claim resolved at that level. We consider the merits of the litigation as well as the cost of defense of that litigation. And those are two pole stars that I'm following in making my analysis and why I've concluded that it is in the best interest of the estate to actually simplify the administration. Having this claim dealt with now on a tremendous number of motion petition, court appearances, and the like. So when you look at it as a totality, it's absolutely clear that this is a settlement that was negotiated at arm's length and should be approved by the court.
Anyone have any questions, Mr. O'Connor?
Did you give any consideration to what law firm you would retain, how much the expense would be to defend the lawsuit through trial?
Oh, absolutely. And I would use some of the civil litigators in my own firm to be involved in that. And the expense, unfortunately, but a case like this, given the amount that's an issue, you definitely are looking at something, I'd say, in $150,000 range for legitimately.
What was the amount of the claim?
$2.8 million.
Would you agree with me, sir, that in fact, with the expenses of litigation getting caught up to litigation being done on several years, your estimate could actually be on the low side, and your firm could be spending potentially even as much as the full amount of the settlement on defense costs in case went to trial and appeal?
If you couple an appeal with it, absolutely. To keep going.
You would agree that while the claim of Mr. Stansberry is pending, there's no way to close the estate?
True.
Did you discuss with, well, not only discuss with your lawyer, but did you consider how long it might take to take Mr. Stansberry's claim through trial and appeal and factor that into your consideration?
Yes. It could be a year. Then could include an appeal.
Morrison.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, let me ask Your Honor, I mean, would you prefer that I ask questions or just
argue? No. This is evidentiary based, so you're correct.
Mr. O'Connell, if I may present or provide you with a copy of the inventory that you filed in this case. And if you look at page 2 of the inventory.
Sure.
And what I'd like to do is identify what I would, or you might consider as liquid assets. Would it be fair to say that the first three entries are essentially the liquid assets in the state?
That and then the extent that you consider the IRA, I would also indicate something as a liquid asset.
Okay. So I add the first three assets as being approximately $600,000. Is that a fair addition?
Yes.
Okay. And the IRA is a tax, once you, that is taxable, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So the $600,000 addition would become, if we, say a third goes in taxes, would go down to $400,000, correct?
Approximately, yes.
Okay.
Where's the IRA?
Number 3, Your Honor, on the list of assets. On the second page.
Okay, $510,000.
And so would it be fair to say then, with these rough approximations, at the time the inventory was filed, there was about $400,000 in liquid assets to pay?
At the time of the inventory?
Yes.
If you do a net analysis, because of course the inventory is inaccurate in terms of actually what was on hand, but I understand you're sort of taking the leap of after tax, what does it really worth?
Okay. So, within the last 2 weeks, we had a hearing with respect to a Walter Saul mortgage, wherein the judge entered an order or orally pronounced that you shall use estate assets to pay the $110,000 first mortgage, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and has that been paid yet?
No.
And will that be paid from estate assets?
Yes.
So that $110,000 will presumably come from this $400,000 in liquid assets, correct?
Part of it, yes.
Okay. And the judge also said that back real estate taxes and insurance and so forth shall be paid as well?
Yes.
And that might be another $10,000 or $15,000?
Correct.
Okay. And so that brings this $400,000 or so down to maybe $275,000 or so.
Okay. Yes.
And the agreement that you're requesting be approved today, the amount of the settlement is $340,000?
Correct.
Okay. And so that's actually quite a bit more, almost $100,000 more than that which would be left after payment of the solemn first mortgage, correct?
Yes. And I'll explain in my own redirect.
We'll
okay. Your Honor, what's being omitted is the fact that what I call a co-op clause, which is a common clause, and a trust that says, sorry, this trust can be used to pay administrative expenses claim. It's quite clear. That's why I put in my motion, and that's what I reported on early in this session. That's one of the things I'm absolutely going to do. I mean, I have to do that. I'm going to have to say.
But here's what I'm not understanding, just following Mr. Morrison's logic. Does the three items on the inventory basically constitute the majority of the estate assets.
Liquidhead, yes, that's true.
Are there any other assets that the estate owns that could be subject to garnishment or execution by a judgment creditor?
You would have some items on, like the promissory note. If you go down that list, that kind of gives you a little good roadmap. Yeah, I'd say yes as to that. The jewelry, yes, the furniture, furnishings, wood, but these reimbursements have actually been done. But
is the promissory note collectible?
No, that's a good issue. That's been in front of you as well. I'd say it is collectible.
Is that certain?
Not because we're dealing with the house.
Well, I guess here's the Mr. Morrissey was questioning me and thought came to mind. If Mr. Feynman's case goes to trial, okay, and they win and they get a judgment, okay, it's a money judgment against the estate.
Yes, and then what I can help you there, I think, Connor, what would happen would be that they could insist on me as the fiduciary using that power to pull assets in from the trust. They would be able
to. That's what I need to know about it.
Sure, absolutely.
Is that legally clear that the trust would be required to pay for that which the estate would have required to pay?
Yes, because there's a statute on it, and of course, there's the wording of the trust itself that says that.
Do you agree with that, sir?
I do, and there's also funds in the Illinois litigation contention.
Well, no, I saw that, yeah. Do you agree that's the law that the trust would get pulled in much more?
Yes. The point caveat, there's one asset in the trust that might be independently exempt as a family member partnership, but generally speaking, the trust assets are accountable.
So, Mr. Morrissey, your point is that the $340,000 is a significant amount of the estate assets, correct?
In terms, if you look at the amount of liquid assets,
right.
Yeah, it more than eats up that which is left.
All right, but what's the alternative?
Well, the alternative is to negotiate based upon the liquidity that is there. I don't know if Mr. O'Connell has had a conversation with Mr. Rose or his client, but my understanding is that the assets in the Simon Bernstein Trusts are illiquid. So if Your Honor were to enter an order today saying $340,000 is paid, plus the $110,000, and et cetera, that's already been paid, there is not sufficient liquidity to write those
well,
two.
Mr. Terms. O'Connell says pay that, he's going to raid the trust.
Right, but I guess the point I'm trying to make is you can make a demand to the trust, but my understanding is there is no liquidity, there's no source from which.
So I guess the next question then becomes, if I enter this order, it settles and compromises the CA case claim, there's an order that allows you to compromise and pay it, correct?
Correct.
A quarter out of money judgment, correct?
Right.
And then you do what you have to do to pay it. You go to the state assets first, and after payment of that mortgage and other situation where you have to pay the mortgage and then other debts that are above his first.
Will there be administrative expenses, Your Honor?
Fees.
Right.
All right. So, and then it sounds like on the math, there's not going to be enough money in the estate.
Correct.
Okay. And then you go to the trust. And what happens if what Mr. Morrissey says is true, the trust doesn't have liquid money to pay off Mr. Fay?
The other ace in the hole, Your Honor, is the Illinois litigation.
Let's put that aside for a second. If there's not enough, do you, what happens to the order that you folks now have to compromise on, if you report back to Mr. Payne and said, the good news is we have this order, the bad news is there's no assets left in the estate or liquid assets in the trust which is satisfying.
That's all he's going to get?
Is that your understanding, Mr. Payne?
That is not my understanding.
So what part do you think you
my understanding is that there's liquid assets in the estate and or the trust in order to make payment to my client within 30 days.
Okay, so but the person who's going to determine that under this deal, because the idea here is for this to be smooth and not to be another cause to have another round of litigation. is that the suggestion here is that's not the case. And so, I mean, not the case meaning that the state may not have enough liquid assets, the trust may not have enough liquid assets, because it's like, assuming that Mr. O'Connell does what he's supposed to do and looks for liquid assets and, you know, finds whatever he can find, but if you're short, Mr. O'Connell says, then you're out of luck because you can only get paid from stone and you can't get blood from it.
Well, then until I get an accounting for the trust, I'm not going to go for it because that's not my understanding. There's been no trust accounting. I was always under the assumption that the liquidity of the estate lies within the trust, by and large, in addition to what's in the estate. Not even having to go to the, we were going to the Chicago litigation because our claim was over $2 million.
Sure. Darn, maybe we can just get that cleared up. I thought the same thing, that there was sufficient liquid assets in the trust of Angus or Rose.
They've been telling us.
There's a small amount of cash in the estate, and there's an interest in a family limited partnership. The family limited partnership, I don't know the tax or the further implications of it. And even looking at this, I didn't know there was going to be a shortfall in the IRA and everything, but there's some, I mean, there's jewelry that he could sell, and there's you know.
Yeah, but
I don't want
people to do this and then wind up being improperly disappointed. And so if the inventory is the bellwether here, and if this is gross sums, there's some taxes, we have to pay fees, you have to pay administration expenses, all of those higher class items. And I already ordered the mortgage to get paid. And then if the answer is, you know, start having, you know, sales of jewelry, dollars, you're not enough ready cash to pay this Mr. Payman's order. And then Mr. O'Connell calls up Mr. Rose as attorney for the trustee and says, you know, I need X dollars to satisfy this, send me a check, and you don't have it, then, you know, something's going to be happening that's not anticipated, because I assumed all along that Payman's position was, I'll agree to the 340, compromise this, and get it within 15 or 30 days, because it's available. It was not the case with Payman.
That's correct.
So, if there's uncertainty about whether it's available, it's unfair to go forward. I mean, we just start getting our feet out of one mud pile and going into another one.
I think the answer to all that, kind of, I'm throwing another subject, it really is that Illinois litigation, I deal with that, because there is a pot of money, so to speak, that's there. I know, unfortunately, the pot is there, but is it go to the estate? Does it stay in that particular trust or not? That's something I'm not going to go into exact settlement negotiation. That's something Mr. Rose and I spoke about.
Well, let me ask you, but it's been a short couple
of sure.
Yeah. Just to let you know, I mean, that was
to
one of the
trust accounting right now.
The argument that I'm going to make today.
That's off the whole thing.
A portion by some of the state, a portion from the Chicago litigation, so we know that there's liquidity to, or enough sufficient to give to Mr.
We don't have cash in our pocket with certainty from the Illinois litigation, is that true?
Well, there's $1.7 million that's being held in court register.
Right. But there's a facility going into the office as PR.
My point or objection
well,
was...
Your point, I think, is well taken, maybe for a different reason than you intended, but I mean, the idea to me of this process is, if we do this, there may be a signed settlement agreement, but as far as I'm concerned, it could be a handshake that's supposed to take place. I mean, no one is to, you know, I mean, the 15 days to get... payment or 30 days to get the payment
It's 15 days, I just spoke.
Okay, 15 days to pay. It is a fait accompli, and we're not going to, you know, it's not to be where someone says, sorry, because they're only settling this assuming that they get paid. True. So, but I say, hold up, let me hear from Elliot. It's been a nice hearing so far.
So I just wanted to say, a simple trust accounting here would prove the veracity of their statements, because we have belief that there's millions of dollars in these trusts. We have actual accounts that Simon died with that had millions of dollars, so either the money disappeared, which is possibly likely, but there's been no accounting, and they're violating, there's never been an accounting.
Okay,
so
the Simon Trust.
In 2 years,
the Simon Trust.
Yes, and the Simon, and the Shirley Trust, but we'll leave that. Right, but Simon, even upon when they transferred trustees, Tesher and Spleena to Ted, they were required to put down an accounting. They've refused all requests to do accountings, and it's a law, I think. So that just is more of why he shouldn't even be a fiduciary, because he's failed.
Let's not go there right now. We're trying to deal with the settlement.
Okay.
What are the assumptions they're making?
But a trust accounting would tell us what the money is, if there's enough to settle.
If I may, Ron, one of the assumptions they're making is that they're backing out a payment of taxes first, but anything paid to a claimant is deductible, thereby reducing any tax liability.
But to me, there's a more hard math. If you have, if you liquidate the IRA, maybe there's withholding, right? Maybe they just withhold and they don't let you take the whole amount out.
Well, you could take the whole amount out of it, and there are, in fact, Mr. Payne's going to get our deduction, some of Mr. Brown's legal fees, my legal fees. There are some deductions against that.
And then you have $110,000 and another $15,000, that's $125,000 that I've already ordered. And so, I mean, it may be that there's enough to put it in.
All right.
Okay, but I would want to make sure, because I think in fairness, so if you're asking me as the court to determine this, I think the first question is, you have the inventory, but you need to know if you set aside enough hard money for the mortgage, taxes, things that have been ordered, a reasonable amount of fees for you, FPR, and Mr. Brown, you'll know that you have X dollars left liquid. I mean, I don't know that Mr. Feynman's going to want to say, but, you know, I'll get an assignment of the interest in the promissory note payable to, the decedent from the Bernstein family, Realty LLC, and he's involved in your business again. He wants out. He doesn't want to be a partner anymore. Accurate?
That's great.
So how long would it take you to determine this? Assume that I say okay for the 340 settlement. You would go back to your office and you would look to see whether you could produce that money.
Right.
But you can't produce that ahead of other court orders, such as the mortgage.
Right.
And I don't know that you can legally produce it ahead of your own fees or want to, or Brown's fees, because they're higher class.
Mr. Brown's going to pay. So
okay. So you're left. And then if there's enough cash, that would probably be okay. And then if there's not, you contact Mr. Rose and say, here's what I'm short, and see if you can write a check. And that's all we're doing. This is cash. You know, I'm not looking. I don't want to be accounting boards or another area of litigation. And then we'll know whether there's enough money to pay off Mr. Bateman's client. And then that matter. How much money?
I'll get that in a few days, Your Honor.
It sounds reasonable. If I approve this, I want as much certainty as possible that they're just going to check and you're out.
I do not disagree with Your Honor.
Okay, all right. And I think everyone does. Do you agree?
I do.
And do you agree, Mr. Morrissey? That should be what takes place?
It's primarily
going to come from the estate. So your clients clearly don't have an interest there. Okay. Well, so they may have a trust, but. You know, the cost of litigation is going to be great,
if they go to litigation, he gets a money judgment, that's going to wind up being execution all over the place. And, I'm all right with it. As long as it's paid and done, and I think we're not looking really at cash flow. It looks like they're going to be involved minimally, if at all, which I think is your client's interest, Mr. Morrissey, as hopefully the beneficiaries of the trust. Okay, so what do you say?
I'm going to do two things. This was one thing I was saying early on. I mean, the settlement I was trying to broker originally was going to raised the money in part by settling the Illinois litigation at the same time. So that was the construct. I didn't get any traction for that. So I hadn't considered this issue, but I'm out of town the rest of this week, but by next, let's say Tuesday, I could figure it out exactly.
We don't need to reach you.
Until Mr. O'Connell. Okay.
This is due diligence. So
it's probably I'm out the rest of the week, but I'll be back next week.
So by Friday, Mr. O'Connell, you'll report to Mr. Feynman and Mr. Morrissey, Mr. Rose, taking everything we said to Mr. Elliott, taking everything into consideration, what you can raise forthwith.
Sure.
Okay. And then you'll tell most, if it's not the full amount, you'll tell that to Mr. Rose, how much you need. And Mr. Rose will report to you, here's what we have. Depending upon how close it comes to pay off Mr. Feynman's client, then it may be that, I mean, if we obviously have enough, he's paid the body. If not, it may be that we pay you off, if it's substantially all of it, you'll have to make another decision, take what they have available, and then still be over the rest, pending the Illinois settlement or something to do with other monies in the trust, if I'm getting at, if they can't get their immediate hands on enough cash. But I don't know that yet. We'll find that out. Mr. O'Connell will tell you something on Friday. Okay? Is that reasonable?
It sounds reasonable for me to wait to hear from Mr. O'Connell.
Right, that's what we have to do. If he says I got 95% there, you may think that's sort of okay. It's much less than that, probably not. But
this year, so the recap, our status would be approved in terms of the settlement subject to verification of the ability to.
Correct.
Okay, thanks. Oh, excuse me. Will we be rolling this to next week as well as all the other pieces that were attached to this?
I was going to say, whenever you're here next,
we'll hear the rest of.
I won't know this, so we'll finalize it then when you're next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Motion for extension.
Want to deal with the extension and want to go.
Here's your video.
Wow.
Disgusting right now.
Sure. You are? This one. It's this one. Yeah, don't worry what he said. Here, run up to Bill.